Robotics and artificial intelligence could affect almost a third of UK jobs by the 2030s. That's according to a report from accountancy firm PwC, which also predicted that the nature of some occupations would change rather than disappear. To discuss this in more detail, I'm now joined by Dr. Simon Morse, futurologist and government technology advisor. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon.
So which jobs are most at risk from robots and AI?
Well, we're talking today about something called artificial intelligence or AI skill-based technical changes. And if we go back into history, there's a story of a contest between a steam drill and a chap called John Henry in the United States, a powerful railroad worker, to see which of the two could bore the longest hole into solid rock. It's a sad story because John Henry died of a heart attack as a consequence of trying to race the machine. But it also brings us back into the present because there are a range of different jobs, many of which will be low-skilled, but increasingly more will be high-skilled, which can be automated out of existence by the growth in artificial intelligence and machine learning. And in fact, more recently, Kevin Kelly, the founder of Wired magazine that many of your listeners will be familiar with, he said the business plans of the next 10,000 startups are very easy to predict. You take X, whatever the magic ingredient is, and you simply add artificial intelligence, much in the same way that we added electricity at the beginning of the last century.
Now, will there be any unskilled jobs left for humans then in 30 or 40 years' time?
Of course there'll be a range of different jobs available to us, but it very much depends on how governments and education starts to implement the change in a short enough time period or window of opportunity. Because the skills themselves are being rapidly being displaced by the advances in technology. As we know from this report, the report from Oxford University, books like The New Machine Age and many, many more have actually illustrated. But the problem for government and the problem for education is being able to identify which skills might disappear in a very short window of time. It's very, very difficult to predict what is going to be happening now within 5 years, whereas in the last century, even 20 years ago or more, we could actually have a breathing space to try and understand how these technologies might actually impact on society.
So if we had a listener who was thinking about what degree to study or what A-level subjects to pick, you're not really able to give much guidance because we just don't know. Is that a fair summary?
That's pretty much a fair summary. I was giving a lecture at Christchurch at Canterbury just before Christmas, and many of the students were interested in machine learning and artificial intelligence, and several came up to me after the lecture and said, well, where can we actually study this, maybe to a master's degree and more? And the challenge for people like that is that the courses simply don't exist outside the very large and well-known universities. So even the universities themselves are having to catch up with the science because we're seeing such a rapid convergence between technologies, materials, skills, and much, much more. And it's happening so very, very quickly. And government's been caught very much on the back foot.
Can you give an example of where machine-based learning is already making an impact on the economy and the job market?
Okay. Well, for most of us, the most obvious manifestation of AI today are smartphones. We take them for granted now, but many of us indeed are glued to them. They bring all the knowledge to our fingertips, as well as things such as Angry Birds and zombies. Okay. So we're seeing a lot of this change actually being delivered through our smartphones. And for example, Google is an artificial intelligence company. It makes most of its money, and it makes a phenomenal amount of money, by actually developing intelligent algorithms which match adverts with its readers and its viewers. And look at IBM. IBM says that it's a cognitive computing business, which depends very heavily on machine learning, now accounts for about a third of its $81 billion revenue, I think. And it's the main focus now of IBM's growth. Machine learning, artificial intelligence. So you can see the direction that the big boys are now playing in.
Do you think it could make varying impacts in different economies? Could we find in some economies that where labour is cheaper, perhaps the impact of some of these technologies will be slower?
Well, first of all, I'd say that there's no economic law that says everyone, or even most people, will automatically benefit from technological progress. The average worker is now, as we can tell from this program, is now losing the race against machines. Technology is now becoming so cheap that in places such as China and India, Bangladesh, it's more economically viable to buy robots than it is to buy to pay people $5 a day. And that's why companies such as Foxconn, who make most of the Apple iPhones that you see out there, are replacing most of their workers now with robots in China. And so things are starting to shift. And for workers who are involved at the lower skilled base level of the economy, the challenge for them is much like the challenge, for example, of piano tuners round about 1917, when we reached a peak piano, which was soon replaced by 1923 by gramophone records. Whatever happened to the people who were piano tuners?
Okay, fascinating.
They develop different skills. Yep.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you for joining us. That was Dr. Simon Moores, futurologist and government technology advisor.